All right, so this is session 5 of Uncommon Leadership 201, talking about uncommon witness and telling others about the good news of Jesus Christ. So just a couple scriptures in this one. Somebody grab Mark 4, 21 through 24. Jenny Friedman. And then one more. It is Psalm 126, 6. Got it, Leah. Thank you. All right. So, the opening line here in this section says, pay attention. It is something that we need to be giving constant attention to, is our responsibility in the gospel and in leading others to Christ. So go ahead and read Mark 4, 21 through 24 there.
And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you.
So Jesus tells us right here, he's like, listen, pay attention. You've been given something, right? If you've got a light, you don't put it underneath a basket. You put it up on a stand. You get the light out. You make it useful. I'm going to take that light of the world, of Jesus Christ, to others. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to forsake it. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to use it for his glory. So he says, now that you've learned these things, don't put it under a basket. So that goes for the gospel. It also goes for everything we've been talking about today in terms of discipleship, right? You've been learning some things about old self and new self and sanctification and the Bible and about Christ, all things that you can use and pass on to people in your small group to help them grow and to help them continue to follow Christ. And you need to be sharing that light with others. Pay attention to what you hear. I've got to hear these things that we've been talking about today. And if there are things that you have heard, if there are things that you have been convicted of, you need to take note of that. You need to hear that as not just a moment today from Micah, but a word from the Lord of an area where he wants you to grow, where he wants to take you deeper in leadership. It's wrong, as followers of Christ, it is wrong to not act upon something that we have heard from the Lord, in whatever capacity that looks like, personal Bible time, Sunday morning sermon, or small group leader training. So whatever he's been kind of talking to you about today, make sure you're paying attention to that. It says in the scripture there, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If I've heard these things about the Lord, then when I study them, when what has been entrusted to me, I need to be faithfully dispensing that to others as well. Right? If it's been given to me by Christ, I need to be giving it to others. Then lastly, and still more will be added to you, which is what we all want, right? We want to be growing. When we want to be increasing in knowledge. We want to be increasing in our walk with Christ and growing and living that out. There was a story I read about a pastor, or he was like speaking. He was like at a conference. He was like telling the story about his church, and they were doing this small group kind of Bible study thing. They were going through the book of James, and they did this whole teaching on like James chapter 1 or whatever it was. And then the next week they came back and he's like, all right, so how's it going? And the things we talked about last week, and how are you doing with applying that this week? And they were like, well, you know, I didn't really get to that or whatever, blah, blah. And nobody had really done anything with it. He's like, okay, well, we'll meet back again next week and talk about it again. I'm like, hold on, aren't we going to do like chapter 2? He's like, no, I'm not going to teach you something else when you haven't done something with the thing I taught you last week. Like, come back with something like on that, and then we'll go to the next thing. And so oftentimes we don't do that. We just kind of move to the next thing without actually taking it and using and applying and passing on what God has given to us. And so let's be good stewards of what God is teaching us and how he's growing us and getting us into that. All right, with that in mind, next page asks you, what have you learned? Look back over the previous 4 sessions and jot down 2 or 3 principles that you have learned. All right, go ahead and do that right now. I'm just going to give you just a couple minutes. Not too long. What are some things, 3 things that you've picked up today as we've been walking through this material for yourself, for your small group, for, you know, your leadership, whatever. Jot those down. Thank you. Once you've got a couple things jotted down that you've learned today, right below that it asks you, who do I need to share this with? Who do I need to teach or pass on what I've learned so I can help them grow and learn as well? Maybe jot down a couple names there. Maybe one specific to certain things you've learned, or maybe just some in general that you can be passing on and discipling to. Okay, so again, just thinking through that, trying to be good stewards and be specific, and take that to heart and see how that helps you in the coming days or weeks. The last little part of this section here is talking about multiplying ministry and continuing to teach others what we've learned. And so it's got a little section here on 7 ways to develop an apprentice. One of the things that we're supposed to do in small group leaders is picking or evaluating an apprentice in our group and then raising them up and trying to grow them as a leader as well so they could possibly lead a small group in the future. So number one is plan ahead. Set up a time to meet with your apprentice regularly, spend time with them, invest in them, create a plan to help them grow. Delegate tasks. Give the apprentice ministry responsibilities to own. Don't give them everything all at once, but you know, start with, hey, can you take attendance this week? Or, you know, hey, can you set up the snack schedule for the next few weeks or whatever, and then eventually it's, you know, lead a discussion for tonight, or lead accountability, or lead a prayer time, or whatever that looks like, and just kind of take them through it step by step. Number three, encourage training. Urge the apprentice to register for the next available training sessions. We did Uncommon Leadership 101 for all the apprentices back in fall, I think. We took you guys through 101, and so now they're here for 201, and we're going to continue to do that and offer those kinds of trainings for small group leaders and apprentices. Number four, promote competence. Invite the apprentice to participate in discipleship meetings. If you plan to meet with another small group member, invite the apprentice to join you. That's a great way to kind of bring the apprentice in on some stuff too, is start to include them even in some of the personal stuff you're doing throughout the week. If you're on a text, if you're texting with somebody about something or whatever. Now obviously, if it's a confidential or sensitive issue, you kind of need to get some permission from the small group member to include the apprentice in that process. But if they already know that this is the apprentice and they're a leader in our group too and that you're growing them, most of the time they're going to be okay with them being a part of that as well. Number five, equip for ministry. Cultivate in the apprentice a reliance on God's word. Memorize scripture together, challenge each other. So when you're working with an apprentice, you need to be probably pressing them even harder than you're pressing other small group members to be growing in God's word, going deeper in spiritual disciplines, making all these things a priority in their life and holding them accountable to that. Number six, entrust leadership. Assign portions of the small group gathering. I kind of already talked about that. And then number seven, pray together. Set a time to pray with the apprentice before each small group gathering or during the week or some point on a regular basis. Like the more you're praying together, the more you're going to be able to speak into their life spiritually, and God's going to create hearts knit together there for ministry. Next section is multiply ministry. Small groups multiply to more effectively minister to people. Small groups multiply to more effectively minister to people. We just went through multiplication with a couple of our groups in January, which was awesome. And we want to continue to see more of that happening in the future as God allows. And the whole reason we multiply is so that we can see more people discipled. And just as we heard testimony earlier today, once a group gets to a certain size, it gets really hard to do it well in such a big group. And when you break that into two groups, and you have a smaller group to work with, you can start digging deeper with certain people and growing them as disciples. So that's part of this multiplication process. Number two, small groups multiply to expand the capacity to disciple people. So you got a little chart there. Type of group, men's or women's group or mixed group. Our general capacity for a men's and women's group is 12. Mixed group is 16. Once we get to those numbers or above, we're kind of looking to multiply. And then 12 multiplies into two groups of 6, or 16 in two groups of 8. And now you have a capacity for 24 and 32, right? Because if both those 6 groups grow to 12 each, now you're at 24 disciples. If both of those 8 groups grow to 16 each, now you're at a total of 32 disciples. So where you only had capacity for 12 or 16 originally, now you have capacity for 24 or 32 in the multiplied groups. And that just keeps happening as we multiply more. And then number three, a healthy rate of multiplication is within 2 years. We had that question earlier. We talked about that a little bit, right? So somewhere between 18 and 24 months is usually the lifespan of a group. And once you hit that two-year mark, you're really looking to do something different. Small groups are not intended to be forever. That's what heaven is for, okay? Small groups isn't for us to just hang out and be friends and spend time together forever in a day, and this is my small group for life, and don't separate me. That's not the mentality we want. That's what we're going to do once we're face-to-face with Jesus. Right now, it's go forth and make more disciples. And so we do that through multiplication. If a small group is together exclusively for 2 years without developing an apprentice, it will become ingrown and isolated. And as a rule, small groups should be consistently transparent before multiplying. So that's the other key factor that we're looking for, not just the numbers, not just getting to 12 or 16 or whatever, but do we have a group of 12 or 16 that have gotten the DNA of what we're going for? They're being authentic. They're being transparent. They're doing what we've asked them to do. We're seeing fruit from this small group, and things are happening that we want to multiply out into two groups. Number four, keep repeating the process. Keep repeating the process. A healthy small group continues to welcome new members, multiply new leaders, and multiply into new small groups. And so that's kind of the triangle diagram there. Multiplied discipleship in your small group, more disciples, leads to multiplied leadership, more apprentice leaders, which leads to multiplied ministry, more small groups. Okay? And then we start over. We've got new small groups. We, again, multiply the disciples, multiply an apprentice, and then multiply small groups again. So that's the end goal of what we're going for, because that allows us to bring more people to Christ and more people to be discipled in the kingdom. So in conclusion, Psalm 126:6. Who's got that verse? Go ahead. With food in mouth.
He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing the sheaves with him.
Such a great verse. I was just having a conversation with a pastor at our Senior Pastors and Wives Retreat that they just sent one of their pastors out to plant a church, and they sent a bunch of members with them, and most recently the church has, they've been going for like a couple months, and it's already blown up to like 400 people, and it's just like, it's just crazy what the Lord is doing, and the pastor there, he can't handle it all. And so now the planting pastor has now released one of his best staff members to go and be on staff at this other church. And he's like, Micah, I have to be honest. It hurts. Like, it's hard, and we don't really want to do it because you can't find guys like him, and he's the real deal, and we want him here. He's like, but it's for the good of the kingdom, and this is going to multiply ministry. And it takes some weeping sometimes, and the work we have to do hurts sometimes, and it's not always fun to multiply. It's not fun to have your friend in a different small group than you now, but it's for the good of the kingdom. And it says here, it promises us that if we do that, we shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing sheaves with him, that it will bring a harvest for the kingdom. And so that's why we do it. Making disciples is hard work, but it is also incredibly rewarding. And I hope that you're experiencing both of those in your tenure as a small group leader, that it is hard work, because if you're experiencing that, then that tells me that you're doing it right. And but it's also full of joy as you see people's lives changing and transforming and growing, all for God's glory. Okay? So that's the end of section 5 and the end of our training for today. I'm going to pause right there.